Tonight we're going to read from the third chapter of the book of Lamentations. Have you ever beat yourself up before? Have you ever looked at your life and been unhappy with either what you saw, what you felt, or what you were doing? This is something that I've done. It's something that I do. It's something I have to fight against, and it's something I have to fight through. I have been there. And when I examine things in my life, if I looked far back enough, I could look into my past and see a man I'm not proud of. If I looked even into a week, 2 weeks ago, I could see a person in moments that I wish I could have done something different. I wanted to ask you that because I want you to understand what we're about to read. Because the opening of this passage that we're reading is the words and thoughts of somebody that was on the brink of beating themselves up. But there's something as you continue to read on that springs forth out of it. And that moment when it springs out is what I'm going to try to preach on, that you recognize that you have inside of you, that when the enemy wants you to beat yourself up over your faults, your mistakes, when he wants you to slander your own self, that you'll have this word to remind yourself, I'm better than that. Let's go ahead and read. We'll read from the first verse. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. What we're reading is self-deprecation, the beating up of oneself. And we all do it. This is a little bit more eloquent of speaking and writing of such. But we all do it in our own way. My flesh and my skin hath made me old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. This is pretty powerful words coming from somebody. And it's something that if we all really thought about it, we can identify with in some way that we felt it before. Have you ever felt like your chains were too heavy for you? Have you ever felt like that you couldn't get out? Ever felt like that you were set aside and put in a dark place? Has anybody ever been there in here? He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people in their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity, and I said, my strength and hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Let's stop right there. You may not be feeling this way directly yourself tonight, but there are people out there right now that are. You might feel like that your life is in a good place, that things couldn't get any better. And you know what? Good for you. I'm glad that things are going well for you. But there are people out there right now that are sharing this same pain as we're reading about right here. There are people that are in despair. There are people that are struggling with finances, that can't make ends meet and think so little of themselves that they cannot do better than what they're doing. There are people out there that struggle with their pain from their past and are drinking their life away, taking pills, snorting things, smoking things, doing whatever they can do to cause themselves to try to cover up a little bit of what they're feeling and cover up a little bit of what they're going through. And some of you may not be exposed to this kind of environment very much. Some of you may not even know what I'm talking about right now, but I'm here to tell you, if you're wondering what the need of this county is, what the need of this community is, and what the need of the people that are sitting around you is, it is a mental warfare. We are dealing with the battle of the mind. Satan's not coming up to you directly in person and pushing on you and telling you you're not worth it. He's not walking up to you and challenging you and trying to tell you that you're less of yourself, but all of these negative forms of thinking begin in the mind. So we're reading the laments of someone that was drawing only from their mind. If you live in your own thinking, you will be damned in your own thinking, because eventually wickedness will overtake your train of thought. And what was once a person that was happy, you'll only live to think in the negative. What once was a person that really cared about others will become a person that is hell-bent on getting their way. When you think about this today, there are people out there that are being enthralled by the devil, and they don't even know how. They're being entangled by the enemy, and they don't even understand what's going on. But church, I'm not preaching to people right now that don't understand the kind of wickedness that's out there. You want to know how I know that you know? Because you own the same Bible that I do, and the Bible talks to me about that we're living in the days of wickedness. We're living in the days of diverse spirits. That means different kinds of spirits, a spirit of lust and a spirit of stealing, and spirits of that will go and do the things that enthrall others unto anger, that will cause them to lose their walk with God. There are teenagers out there that do things wrong just because it's fun to do. There are kids out there right now that they don't have the influence of somebody that should be positive unto them. And as long as they have nobody that's going to help them understand the way, then they'll think that the way that they're going is a good way. But if you read in the book, church, you'll find that the way that people are traveling is a very broad way. It's a very accepted way. It's a way that everybody just says, oh, just do what you want. And everybody, if they judge you, it's their problem. Oh, just be who you want to be, and you've lived how you want to live, and don't worry about what anybody thinks about you. But I'm here to tell you right now, if you have ever felt the touch of God, then there is a standard inside of you that knows better. If you've ever been saved by Jesus Christ, there's a part of you that knows better. And church, if we're not too careful, the enemy will begin to infiltrate even greater than he is today on mental warfare of the body of Christ. We'll go from being able to be in unity with one another to wondering what he said, she said, about who said what said. And if we don't get in a place to where we truly are fighting what is going on in here, then when we are struggling to get a blessing, we will not receive the blessing, because our minds are tainted with the thoughts of the enemy. We're overwhelmed. I rarely have a conversation with somebody that tells me that all is well in their life. People are overwhelmed. There are people that talk to me that attend here that are overwhelmed. People that sing to you, they're overwhelmed. People that are preaching to you, that are overwhelmed. People that are trying to get across to you how much that you need God greater, that are just as overwhelmed as you are. But there has to be a moment in time where we lay aside every weight of the mind so that God can get past our mind and get into something deeper. Where is it? Where are we talking about? The heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes I hurt, but let not my words only show my pain. I struggle, but let not only my thoughts show my struggle. There are people that have their eyes on me, how I live, what I do, what I say. There are family members that live on my every word. And if I live to tell only my pain, what example could I be for anybody around me? If I tried to stand up here tonight and only talk about all my troubles, I know you'd get tired of hearing it. I know you'd finally get something within you that says, brother, don't you know there's a better way to go? There'd be something that would cause you to say, don't you know there's a better way? So I'm here to tell you that even though you're hurting, and even though the enemy's beating up on you and causing you within your mind to beat your own self up tonight, I'm here to tell somebody by the love that's in my heart that there is a better way, and there is a way of escape, and there is a way to overcome the enemy. There is a way to overcome suicide. There is a way to overcome the wiles of the devil. There is a way to be positive even in a situation that looks negative. There's a way to be happy even when everything is going wrong. There's a way to walk around with a smile on your face that you mean even though everything is going in chaos. I'm concerned for you because I don't want you to get overwhelmed. When I pray for what I preach, the Lord gives me something, not for what's behind us, but what is for us, for going forward. There are people that try to live out their Christian walk at home and say that everybody that goes to church are hypocrites. But eventually they rot themselves because they cannot sustain themselves on their own. Because at some point you need a touch from somebody that lets you know that you care. God never left anybody alone. Had you ever noticed that in the Bible? Even when you had the prophet of God in a cave saying, I'm the only one that's left. I'm the only one that still believes. And I felt like that before when I'd be preaching. Man, I'd just go home after pouring my heart out and totally feel like it was not a success and be within myself and say, I'm the only one, God, that's trying to do. And you know what? He reminded me and quickened me real quick and showed me that there's ministers all over this country in third world countries that are fighting the same struggle that I fight every day. So I'm here to tell you, even though I beat myself up, I'm going to get back up again, because I know that even though when I come short, God makes me strong. Even in my weakness, God makes me strong. Even in my lack, God makes me to be prosperous. Even in my self-depression, God makes me stronger. I'm not as though I was, but I am made new in Christ Jesus. So let's go back in this word. Here we find the moment where the heart kicks in. Man, I'm excited. Let's start back at verse 20 and then read verse 21 together. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. This I recall. This I bring out of me and speak to my mind that I have hope. Where is that coming from? Where is the substance of things hoped for that's living inside of you? It's deep down inside of your heart. And if you're not letting God in your heart every day, if you're not letting Him minister to your life every day, then your mind is the one that's winning the warfare. But God said, if we have His Spirit, then we'll love our neighbor as ourselves. If we have His Spirit, the evidence of Him is that we love others. So when we live in justification of our mind and say, well, that's the way they're going to be, then that's the way I'm going to be. Now, honestly, church, tell me any outcome you could see that would be good if you acted that way. Go ahead. I challenge anybody in this room to tell me of an outcome where it would be good. Do you think people would have followed after Jesus Christ if after one day they threw a stone at him and he bent down and picked it up and threw it back? Do you think that Stephen would be so revered as he is today for being somebody that was such like Christ that he would bear the sufferings on the behalf of others and say, Father, forgive them, if he had picked one of them back up and said, don't you throw it at me? So that tells me that just because my thoughts tell me this way, that doesn't necessarily mean I have my answer. There must be something that speaks to the mind out of the heart. The power of life and death is where? In your tongue, in your speech, what you say. We undervalue this. You know why? Because if we talked with power, somebody help me preach. If we talked with power, then we'd walk in power. If we spoke with life, then life would be on us. If we spoke what we know is true, then we would walk in the truth. When we refuse to listen to how our heart leads us, our mind leads us unto destruction. Imaginations. Your imagination's under attack, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. When I was growing up, we didn't have tablets. We didn't have iPhone. We didn't have apps, brother. I didn't have anything to play and dive myself into. You know what I had? Just my creativity. And my grandma, she wasn't a fan of letting me sit in the air conditioning house and relax on the couch. She would put our butts outside and say, play! And I'd say, well, there's no toys out here to play. You know what she'd say? Think of something. And so for me, when I was a kid, I'd get a little stick and I'd be wielding it around like, you know, I was some kind of soldier or something, you know, playing out there, and people drive by probably think, what a fool. But I loved it. My imagination was engaged. And some of you, if you get down on yourself all the time, the dreams that God has gave you can get lost in the shuffle. Have you ever thought of you doing something greater than you've ever done, but lose it because you simply beat yourself up beneath your potential? I did that for a long time. And what was once dreams and imaginations had turned into resentment and regret and anger, confusion, fear, wondering where God was, anger. Why had God not moved for me? My mind tossed in the middle turmoil of the world, and as your mind is in this state, Satan is creeping in just where you are. And if he can catch you when you're not in a good place in your mind, he'll take your imaginations and make you do things you never would have done before. It'll make you say things you never would have said before. I have hope because I know that God loves me. I have joy because I know that God loves me. I have peace because I know that he loves me. I have the greatest assurance because I know that he loves me. So many people beat themselves up to where they don't even feel like they're lovable, that they could ever find love or be loved again. But I'm here to tell you that's a trick of the enemy. You are somebody because God loves you. You don't need any reinforcement from me to tell you I love you, for you to know that you're loved. I went through a period of time in my teenage years where I was so twisted in my own thoughts, I didn't think anybody cared. And there are many young people out there today that live with a chip on their shoulder, that simply just don't have somebody to come and tell them that they love them. I have cousins that I go to and try to encourage often. They're younger than me, but I try to be a positive influence for them. Because church, if we're not going to be the balance when they're dealing with the wickedness that's going on today, then we don't have enough love. If we're not going to hold them in the balance when Satan would seek to devour them, we're not doing what we truly should be doing. Yeah, you came tonight, and yeah, you're sitting in the pew, and I'm not going to shortchange that. But what I'm asking you is, what are you taking out of here so that you're ministering to somebody that when they get in the balance and are being weighed negatively in their mind, what are you bringing to them that causes them to know that God loves them? What are we doing? Yeah, we come in and have a good time, but this is not where it's supposed to end. And they get so fed up sometimes, Doris, they come and go. Well, somebody don't like me. I can't come and play music here. I'm just not loved. So much corruption in the mind, so much division that's going on. And if we just walked in the simple commandment to love each other, then we would not be overwhelmed in our mind. There are so many people that get church hurt, but they don't even realize it's all up here and nothing that's actually happened down here. There's so many people that get caught up in religion and hold people down beneath their potential, that they make other people feel less of who they're supposed to be in the Lord. I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm telling everybody in this place, you'll never have me hold you down, but I'm here to pick you up and to remind you that you serve a God that loves you. And if you know that God loves you, then there's no reason to think of yourself as less than who you are. Because when you're saying I'm no good, you're saying God's no good. When you say I'm not anybody, you're saying God is nothing. When you say I can't do it, you're saying God can't do it. But I'm telling you, through Christ, I can do all things. Through Christ, I can do all things. He said, if anybody which is called by my name or would call out and believe, hallelujah, he said, the same shall be saved. Is there anybody in here right now that'll be willing to take a stand against the enemy, to believe that they are greater than what they make themselves to be? In the last days, I'm going to connect this for you. It says, in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out on who? Right? Where does the spirit dwell? In your heart. What does the spirit stir? Your heart. What causes you to move out of compassion? Your heart. What causes us to act out of anger? If you've ever seen a dog that's been abused, they only know how to do two things: to hide in the corner or to bite your hand off. That's all they know. Because such love has been neglected to the point that they either live in fear or fight for their life. When people only live out of their minds and not their hearts as God would stir it, then we are susceptible to the temptations of the enemy. I'm talking about that we are all subject to temptations if we do not allow the comfort of the Spirit to lead us. Some of you may wonder, maybe not wonder, Jared, how do you stay motivated to preach week in and week out? What do you do to just keep on coming in and be who you are? What do you do to not change? What, he must be doing something special. He must be drinking something. He must be making him a blended sort of vegetables or something. Multivitamin. Maybe he drinks like 5 Red Bulls before he comes in. That's what it is. I don't have any special formula. I don't do any routine or regimen. In fact, when I try to set aside time to rest before I preach in On Sundays, I often don't get there or don't feel like sleeping. And I realize it's God showing me that even if you don't get to rest, I'm still God. I don't have any special formula. I simply live what the Word tells me to. I let what ministers to my heart minister to my mind. We are in mental warfare. You want to know how? Because there are plenty of us that have praises. And I don't see any chains in here. But yet we live as though we're chained. Nobody is keeping you. Somebody say hello. Nobody's keeping you from opening up your mouth. But yet we live as though we're noosed. Now I know we've got a lot of these. We don't use them very much. But somebody smile at me in here. Do I have to come tickle you?
There they are.
Sometimes we're almost afraid to be happy and limit our potential of being able to enjoy something. And we're living as though somebody was pinning us down and saying, you can't be happy.